Lord God, Heavenly Father, may we in this time focus entirely on your word. Lord God, clear away the clouds that are in our head. Help us see that you are the Son of God, the light of the world. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, I just want to make very clear, when the Bible was written, it was not written with the chapters and verses written for each one. So you couldn't say, go to this verse or this chapter. But just letting you know, the verse we're going to study today is John 6:66. That's got to be intriguing. But it's interesting is we're going to chapter 6, verse 66, and it's on the back of your worship bulletin. This is a very intriguing, if you were there and would have seen it and could have asked questions about it, this would be like, Lord, what in the world simply just happened? And so when we look at John chapter 6, verse 66, let's read this together with me if you would. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Here we see that for some reason, some of Jesus' disciples simply said, whatever you're teaching, we don't want any more of it. And so this is not the 12 disciples. These are men who had been following Jesus ever since the time that he came out of the desert. And so what we see here is people are like, well, I thought only the 12. No, if you remember, after Judas departed, they filled his spot with someone who had been with the disciples ever since the beginning of Jesus' ministry. So there are others that were following Jesus besides the 12. And so what we see here is really a mass exodus here of disciples because they couldn't grasp what Jesus was speaking about. And one of the things that Jesus was speaking about is this. If you would read this with me. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. This is it's rather difficult. If you just look at this inside of a box, people would say, okay, Lutherans, y'all are just vampires, right? I mean, if you really look at it, what is at our core in the sacrament of the altar here is when Jesus says, this is my body. He's not talking about anything else. He holds up and says, this is my body. Disciples don't ask any questions. When he says, this is, they understand this. They understand it. All right, and Martin Luther had a lot of disputes with some of the other reformers, and he said, when Jesus says this is, this is. He says there's no other way around it. This is my body. And so we would go back to this phrase and say that, okay, when Jesus says you have to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, a Lutheran would say, yes, we understand it. We get that. That's what you said it is. That means it is to us. And so that's why we kind of dispute with some of our other Christian brothers, but we say when he says this is, that means when we partake, it is bread and it is body all at the same time. And so that kind of separates us a little bit from our other brothers and sisters. But we would point to this chapter and these verses to say Jesus was serious when he was talking about this. And very interesting enough is that in the Old Testament, you were not supposed. Remember when you cook a good piece of meat, what were you supposed to do as a good Jew? As a good Jew, what were you supposed to do? Throw that ribeye on the grill, and what were you supposed to do to it? Take all the flavor out of it. You know, well done, yay again. All right, and so, well, number one, that's a dietary thing. Number two, God says you are not to eat anything with blood in it. So, you know, no bacon, no red meat that you can flavorfully enjoy. You know, what are you supposed to do as a Jew? But that was the thing. No blood. They were pointing to the cross. When Jesus says, "This is my blood," he was saying that, hey, all you Jews, you have been saving this moment. Nothing has come into your body except for this here. And so he was pointing to the cross in which they were to take of his blood. And so when you take a look at that, Jesus fulfills all the prophecies of the Old Testament. And now, once we throw that ribeye on the grill, that is taken off there now. That covenant has been fulfilled. Therefore, we can actually enjoy bacon. We can enjoy a nice, juicy ribeye because that restriction has been taken out when Jesus says, "This is." Interesting enough is we can look at this verse as saying, okay, there's a shift going on. The problem with the Jews is by the Old Testament, they weren't supposed to have any blood. And so when Jesus says, "You are going to drink my blood," they're like, that's no way. And the only way to feast on someone's flesh is to do what to that person? Is to kill him. And so they couldn't get past this whole thing is, we are not cannibals. So they turned away from Jesus in this and says, okay, this is too difficult for us. All the Old Testament leading up to here says, no, 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 no. They didn't understand that the whole entire Old Testament was pointing to Jesus and what he would do on the cross, and they didn't understand that. And so here Jesus says, all your dietary restrictions, if you take a look at that, they're pointing to me and to pointing to me alone. And so very interesting is that the ones there, okay, I can't do this. Your teaching is too difficult for me. If I'm supposed to eat your little flesh, then therefore that's not for me. It's restricted in the Old Testament. Jesus says, no, that's not what it is. And so many of these the disciples, they literally went away and fled. They would not follow Jesus after that. And so that's kind of what we want to focus on this morning. I mean, this is Jesus. This is God before all these. They've seen all the miracles. They've seen everything he has done. They've heard his teaching for 2.5-3 years. And they're going to leave now? They're going to leave? And so we ask ourselves this question. And when we ask ourselves, who is Jesus? Simply put, who is Jesus? There's a lot of different answers to that. And one of the bad things is if you ask in New York especially, you know, those big cities where those city slickers, you know, can't get anything right. If you ask them, who is Jesus, and you want an honest response.
I think he was just a person. I don't know.
Just a normal person like us.
He was a selfless person.
I have no clue. He was a man.
I think he was marketing genius because he got people to believe him.
I don't think he's the son of God. I don't believe that at all.
If David Copperfield was in the day of Jesus, he would be Jesus.
I'm pretty sure he existed. Like, I'm not going to say that he didn't exist.
He was God's son, but so was Gandhi, and so was Muhammad, and so was, you know, we're all God's children.
All right, so you ask somebody in New York, and you're going to get a very, very different answer of who is Jesus. And very interesting enough is when you look at who is Jesus modern day, it's very much the same thing as when Jesus roamed this earth. And he basically is asking his disciples, hey, will you follow me? And a lot of the guys left. And interesting enough, it's the same thing. And so right before you is a picture of a buffet. We all love buffets nowadays. Some of y'all are going to leave here and go eat at a buffet. Why? Because you can eat all you want and you can eat whatever you want. And here is my simple idea here is, do you see Jesus in this picture? Do you see Jesus in this picture? Simply because of this, even in the church today, when you look at what's on your plate, you go around and say, I don't like that, I don't like that. I mean, you're right now looking at that saying, I probably wouldn't eat that. Even in the church today, we look at Scripture and we look at what Jesus says, what Jesus was all about, and we say, we like this about Jesus, we like this about Jesus. Can we combine this, this, and this? But I want to leave out all this other stuff. We in the church do the same thing. Out in the world, why would you expect anything different? And so in the church, we have to understand that when Jesus says something, he actually means it. Something written 2,000 years ago, we have to understand that we can take a look at what was written way back in the early part of Christianity. It's the same thing that was written back to us today. Only book ever to do that. And so when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, what does that mean? It means I am the light of the world. And when we take a look at what other people said about him, they didn't say, Jesus, well, you know, I just want a little piece of you over here, and your message is really good over here. I think you're a good guy to focus on over here. I love that you preach about love, but I don't want you to have any commandments because I don't want to have anyone tell me what to do. And that is the law speaking to us today, that Jesus spoke about law. He says, you're not able to keep the law. You're not able to follow God perfectly. And so therefore, that is why I've come in the world. And that is why we need him renewing us each and every day. And so when we ask, who is Jesus to us? Are there going to be answers that vary a little bit? Yeah, there is. And that's why we get to, even though some of y'all have about to finish confirmation, it keeps going. The problem is we haven't always shown our young people that our faith keeps building even after confirmation. And so we need to still keep ourselves in the Word, asking ourselves, what would Jesus have us read today that builds on our faith for what's about to happen in the future? And so when we take a look at John chapter 6, verse 68 and 69, if you would read this with me. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. So even in this verse, I want you to see something very interesting. Look at that last phrase for me, please. And what do you read? That you are the Holy One of God. Even in this part, I actually did look this up. He's not saying you are a Holy One of God. There's a difference sometimes when you say a and the. And Peter is trying to say, there is no one else like you. You are God, and you are the one who has been set aside to pay for our sins. Simon Peter is getting right. He's professing, he's confessing what he believes about Jesus, and he's singling Jesus out as, Jesus, you are the only one who can save me from my sin. So Peter is confessing that he is sinful, that he is in need of a Savior, and also he's saying, okay, God, you're the only one who can do this, Jesus. I can't have a salvation. I can't buy my way into heaven except through you. And that's what Peter is trying to say this in this small little phrase. And so when we look at the buffets of what people are putting out there about who Jesus is, there is only one course that Peter is trying to put us on. And that was trying to put us on that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the only one who can save you and me from our sin. The only one. There is no other thing on the menu. So today, as we go away from here, and we're going to hear a lot of things, we're going to be bombarded by a lot of marketing tools and schemes that say, you need this, you need this. Consider who Jesus is and what we need in this life and the life to come.